Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. Have you ever come across something that when you look at it seems clearly to be one thing, but is really something else? I remember walking through a field at dusk when I was a little kid, and I looked down in the dim light on what I thought was a big black snake right between my feet, and I jumped a mile in the air. It wasn't a snake, though. It was just a big black stick fallen from a tree. Sure, it looked like a snake, though. If you've ever thought things looked one way and then turned out to be something else, we've got a couple of stories for you. They're tales about people for whom not all is as it appears. And our first story comes to us from the Scottish-Kenyan storyteller Mara Menzies, who will tell us an old Scottish tale about a young couple and their new baby. Sounds sweet, right? Well, clearly you haven't met that new baby, or at least what seems to be that new baby. Here's Mara with The Changeling.
This story was one of the first stories that I heard when I moved to Scotland, and it's an old and ancient story. And this story begins with a young man in a little village on the west coast of Scotland. Now, this young man was walking along through his village when suddenly he stopped. His eyes widened, his heart began to pound in his chest because he had seen the most beautiful woman that he had ever seen. Her hair sparkled and shone, her eyes glistened and gleamed, her smile was as wide as the world. Oh, she was perfection. Now, I'm sure you've all been in love, so you all know the feelings that were racing through this man's mind. He thought, oh, if only she would take a walk with me, if only she would look at me and fall madly in love just as I have done. But of course, he let himself down because he couldn't speak. When he tried to show how strong and mighty and manly he was, his body wobbled. Oh, it was a complete disaster for this poor young man. However, the young woman had noticed him and she thought, he seems kind, he seems smart, he's extremely handsome. And so she started to tuck her hair behind her ear. She started to show off her neck and her shoulder and reeled him in. And it wasn't long before the two of them were deeply in love with each other. So much in love that they decided that they were going to get married. And so the pipers were called in, the fiddlers were called in, the flautists arrived, everybody gathered, and they were dancing and feasting and enjoying themselves, merrymaking until the early hours of the morning. And then the young man and the young woman moved into a beautiful little thatched cottage, and married life began. Now, when people get married, there's normally something that they want pretty soon after the wedding. And there was nothing more of interest to them than the sound of pitter-patter, pitter-patter, tiny little feet racing around their little house. And so they were ready for a baby. And so they waited and they waited. And 6 months went by, but no sign of any baby. And they waited and they waited. And a whole year went by. No baby. 2 years went by. Still nothing. 3 years, 4 years. And they had sought advice from the doctors, from their family members, from their friends. They had eaten all the right foods. They had visited the right places. They had drunk all the things they needed to drink. Oh, it was as if there was nothing, no hope. And still the time passed, and still no baby. Until so many years had gone by. And I'm sure you've all felt the pain of wanting something so badly and it just doesn't come. Until they thought, we're just not lucky. We're not blessed. We're never going to have a child. And once they had come to terms with that realization, ping, suddenly she found herself with child. And her belly grew and grew and grew and plop, 9 months later, there he was. I wish it was that simple. But oh, He was beautiful. Juicy, round, red cheeks, sparkling blue eyes. You know the little wet lips that babies have? And not only was he a beautiful child, but his nature was so happy and joyful. Whenever he saw his parents, he would reach out with his little fingers and, oh, they loved him more than anything else in the world. Now, as I said, this is an old story, and it takes place at a time when everybody in Scotland had a little cottage and a little garden, and that is where they grew all their vegetables and the fruit, and they would weed and water in the summer, ready for the harvest in the autumn, preparing for the harsh, cruel winter. And it was the middle of summer, and the young man and the young woman were out in their garden, and they'd taken their little baby, wrapped him in a little blanket, placed him in a basket, and then pushed him under a little bush as they worked away in the garden. When suddenly, out of nowhere, the baby started to cry. And this was extremely unusual. The child was so happy. And so the mother, she rushed over and she scooped up her child. He cried and wailed, and she tried to nurse him. He spat it out, raged even louder. And the mother thought, what is wrong? And she checked the baby's nappy, but the baby was clean and dry, and still the child would not stop screaming. It was awful, heartbreaking. She checked under his clothes in case he had been bitten by an insect, or perhaps there was a leaf or a twig aggravating his skin. But there was nothing, nothing to be found. And she said to her husband, "Husband, I'm just going to take the baby home and I'll call the doctor." "Yes, of course." And so she rushed back to their little cottage and she called the doctor. The doctor checked the child over and found nothing. Nothing was wrong except the child. His little fists were clenched and the tears were streaming down his face. And he looked so angry. It was terrible, terrible to watch. And he said, "Maybe just give the baby some hot milk and a little bath perhaps, and I'm sure it will be fine in the morning." But that was Monday, and on Tuesday, the child was still screeching. And on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and Friday, and finally on Saturday morning, there was a knock on the door. And when she opened the door, the wife opened it, and there was the postman. And he just about jumped back in horror. He said, "Goodness gracious me, what is wrong with you? It looks as if you haven't slept in a week." "I haven't. The baby will not stop crying." And the postman, he peered into the back of the house and he saw the husband at the table holding his head in his hands. Eyes were sunken, the skin was grey. He was exhausted. And in the basket, the child was still screaming. And the postman, he was a father. And he felt sorry for the couple. He knew that it could be so difficult sometimes. So he said to them, "Why don't you take a break? Why don't you go away, find a place to rest? I will take care of the baby." "Oh, thank you." And they grabbed their coats. They left the house, jumped into their horse and cart, and they rolled away down the mountain. As soon as the sound of those wheels had faded into the distance, the crying stopped. And the postman, he went over to the little basket and he looked in. There was no baby in there. It was a little old man with shiny blue eyes and a long white flowing beard. And he was staring at the postman. "Have they gone? Have they gone?" And the postman was shocked, but he said, "Yes, They've just left. They've gone away.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Oh, I'm starving, starving. All they give me is milk. Milk! Milk is the most disgusting food in the world. I need something to eat.
And he jumped out of the cradle, out of the basket. He hopped onto the table, onto the shelves, opening drawers, opening the cupboards. He found an old bit of bread. He found bottles lining the shelves. He consumed whatever he could. He threw all the waste around the house. Appalling behavior. And then he belched loudly and he said to the postman, "Now, I want to have some fun. I want to dance. Let's have a party. Do you play?" And the postman, well, of course he could play. Everybody in Scotland could play in those days. And he took a fiddle off the wall and he started to play a little tune. And the little old man was dancing away, kicking his legs, spinning and pirouetting and leaping and having the most wonderful time. And the postman was enjoying himself immensely. It was so wonderful, so amusing. And suddenly, the sound of wheels returned. And when the door opened, there was the wife and husband, and in the cradle was the baby. Oh, what has happened to our darling little boy? And the postman, he summoned them over and he said, "Well, tell me what happened." And they told him, "We were just in the garden and then suddenly the baby started to cry." "When was this?" "Oh, maybe Monday." Monday. That was Midsummer's Day. And that, of course, is the day when the world of the fairies and the world of the humans gets very, very close. And if the fairies like your baby, a beautiful, good-natured baby, they will steal your child and they will replace it with a fairy child of their own. That is not your baby. That is a changeling. And if this happened on Monday, you've only got one day before the change is permanent. Oh, no! Well, what can we do? How can we get our baby back? There's only one thing to do. You have to take your baby and wrap him up in blankets nice and tight. You have to carry your child up the hill behind your house to the waterfall. And when you reach the waterfall, you have to throw your baby in. "We are not going to throw our baby into a waterfall. Have you gone mad?" And the postman said, "I'm sorry, but that's the only way to bring your child back. Now, I have other errands to run. Good luck." And off he went. And now the husband and wife had this terrible dilemma. What were they going to do? Now the child was busy groaning and wailing and yelling in his basket. And they said, "Well, obviously we will never throw our baby into the waterfall. But there's no harm in just taking a look." And so they picked up their baby and they wrapped him up in blankets, nice and tight. They put the child on their shoulder and they started the long walk up the mountain. And the whole way, it was awful, terrible, oh, painful to the ear. And as they got closer to the waterfall, they could hear the thunderous sound of the water. And they kept on going. And soon they could feel the icy spray on their faces. And they kept on going until they reached the top of the waterfall. And when they peered down, they saw the swirling, crashing, foaming white water. They could see the jagged rocks below. And they said, "We are never, ever throwing our baby in there." But at that moment, the child gave the most ear-piercing, awful, horrific, that nails-on-the-blackboard kind of screech. And they said, "We have to throw the baby in." And they took their child. One, two, three. Whoosh! They threw their baby into the waterfall. and they watched in horror, slow motion, as the child flew through the sky, and they saw the blankets beginning to unravel, and they saw his sweet, tiny, precious little fists, and they started to punch the air. And then they saw a long, flowing white beard, and they heard this angry, raging voice. How could you do this to me? How could you do this to me? How could you do this to me? And then he was gone. And the poor husband and wife, they stood empty-handed, childless, at the top of the waterfall. And they were filled with sorrow. And slowly they started the painful journey back to their home, to their little thatched cottage. And as they reached the little pathway that led to the door, they suddenly heard the most beautiful sound. And they rushed to the house and they flung open the door, and there in his basket was the baby with his shiny little red cheeks and his sparkling eyes and his little wet drooly lips, his fingers reaching out for his parents. And they scooped him up and they held him close. And of course, they lived happily ever after. But we always wait, because in the west coast of Scotland, if you ever visit, then make sure that you are aware that perhaps you should leave your baby at home. Thank you very much.
And that was Mara Menzies with The Changeling. And listening to this story makes me think of the ways in which I sometimes would change, or try to, into something that I wasn't, really. I remember one time when my youngest son and I were cleaning out some stuff in the basement. He was just a little guy in this memory. And in the course of our cleaning, we found my old yearbooks from junior high and high school. And maybe you know how it is. You find something like that, and you get interested, and you leave off the cleaning out of the basement for a minute, and you sit down and flip through those books together. And I'd find pictures of myself there in the group photo of the high school choir, or in the cast of a play, or at a football game. And sometimes my son could pick me out in those photos. It was fun. "There you are, Dad," he'd say, and he'd point me out. But other times, as you can imagine, he'd be stumped, and I'd have to point myself out. And sometimes it was just due to the years and the miles between the kid in the pictures and the grown-up me that my son couldn't easily find me. But other times it was because I was putting something on in those photos that was, I don't know, fake somehow, wearing clothes that weren't really me, or a haircut that I had only because it was the haircut that the cool kids seemed to be getting. It's easy to give in to the temptation to try to look different than you are, because you're worried that what you are won't be quite enough somehow. And if I'm honest with myself, I could see in some of those pictures a high school kid trying to do that. And those were usually the pictures in which my son had trouble finding me. He'd shake his head, stumped, and I'd point to my young self in the picture, and he'd furrow his brow a little bit, and he'd say, "That doesn't look much like you, Dad." Well, if only someone had told me so at the time. So I'm telling you, the real you, is plenty. And by plenty, I mean plenty good. Be that person. And that's where Mara's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? I've got one more story for you. It comes from Jasmine Cardenas, who tells a story of a young fella in love who magically changes himself to meet a girl. What could go wrong? Well, let's find out, shall we? Here's Jasmine with a story called The Crocodile Man.
I'd like to tell you a story that I first learned through music, growing up in Chicago and traveling to Colombia, where my familia lives. We would always dance Colombian cumbia. And this story comes to me from that song of El Hombre Caimán. Se va el caimán, se va el caimán. Se va para Barranquilla. The gator's gone, the gator's gone. He's gone on to Barranquilla. As the story goes, it's a very old story. There was a man who lived in a town in the state of Magdalena, in the town of Plato, along the river of Magdalena. And there he sold fruit. Mango, papaya, and a banana for you. And he said that his fruit would bring about love. If you ate it or gave it to one that you were in love with, they would love you. They would fall in love with you. Pero lo más chistoso, the funniest thing, is that Don Juan, he didn't have a girlfriend. And he didn't have a wife. But he swore by his fruit. And so he would walk along the town and call out, mango, papaya, and a banana for you. And one day, he saw on the other side of the river, amongst the women and the girls washing clothes, the most beautiful girl with long black hair, big brown eyes, and skin the color of café con leche. Wow, 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 wow! Con esa me caso yo. Now, the only thing is that he couldn't just cross the river and talk to her because there was a rule, there was an important law in place that only girls and women and young boys could cross the river to wash clothes. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. For their safety, only girls and women could. The men were not allowed. So every day he walked by and he would call out, mango, papaya, and a banana for you. But his voice would go downstream with the current of the river, smacking against the rocks and the stones. Those girls and women were so busy, they didn't hear him. And day after day and week after week, he was getting desperate that this beautiful girl with long black hair, big brown eyes, and skin the color of café con leche, whoa, 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 would not get to know him or eat one of his fruits. He asked around the town to see if anyone knew her. Certainly somebody must know this beauty. But no one did. He got desperate, and he went to El Brujo, the witch doctor, who lived deep in the woods. It was forbidden to go and be with a witch doctor, but he went anyways. And as he got to this little shack in the middle of the woods, there he saw these pieces of wood with holes and a thatch roofing, and when the door opened, he heard, hola, Don Juan, entre. How does he know my name? I haven't met him yet. Yo conozco a todos. I know everyone. And as he entered the space, there were little beams of light shooting through the holes in the wall. And there was a hunched over figure over a pot. Tú quieres conocer a esa chica bonita, ¿sí? Yes, yes, I want to see that beautiful girl and get to know her. Can you help me? Claro que sí. And he gave him a potion, and he said, drink this, and you can cross the river undetected. No one will know it's you. Gracias! Thank you so much! Thank you, creepy old man! And the old man said, espere! ¿No quieres regresar a tu propio ser? Oh, of course I want to return to my natural self. Oh, what do I do? Entonces vas a necesitar. He pulled out the anti-potion, and he gave it to Don Juan. Drink this when you come back. Do not drop a single drop. And do not bother me again. And he disappeared. Don Juan stood there with his potion and his anti-potion. Okay, creepy old man. And he walked out of that hut and went up to the river, but he realized, how was he going to drink this and cross the river and not drop a single drop? He needed to get some help, so he went to his friend who was sleeping, and he woke him up. Despierte, amigo! Despierte! I need your help! Ay, amigo, why did you wake me up? I was having a good siesta. Wake up! Come on, help me, help me! They walked to the river's edge, and he said, amigo, you see that beautiful girl with long black hair, big brown eyes, and skin the color of café con leche. Whoa, 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 whoa! Con esa me caso yo. Don Juan, how are you going to talk to her? It's forbidden. You can't cross the river, and she is beautiful, but you'll have to wait until she comes. Ah, I know what to do. You hold this here. I'm going to drink this, and I'm going to change and cross and speak to her, the most beautiful girl, and give her one of my mangos. And then when I come back, you throw that on me so that I can come back to my regular self. I don't think this is a good idea, amigo. It's forbidden. You should not cross this river. I'm telling you, it's bad. Aich. Just help me out, amigo. And Don Juan drank that potion in his body. His body started to shift. His skin turned gray, brown. He had the sharpest. He felt his whole body changing as his fangs approached, and his head grew, and great big teeth came from this long head, and a great big tail grew from his backside. Amigo, I'll be back. And he started to swim. And his friend, he dropped the potion. He picked it up. It started to leak, and he said, amigo, did a crocodile eat you? What's happening? Oh, no. And as he watched that crocodile cross the river, and all those girls, remember, they're washing clothes on the other side. Will you help me wash some clothes? And imagine, if you will, a crocodile coming out of the water with a mango. Hola, bonita! How do you think they reacted? The clothes went flying in every which direction, and the girls ran, and the beautiful girl with long black hair, big brown eyes, and skin the color of café con leche, she yelled, mama, and ran, and he chased her. Wait! Hold on! Wait! But it was no use, no good. He could not get her to fall in love with him. He was a beast. He turned himself around, went back into the water. And when he crossed to the other side, his friend was there. Amigo, is that you? It's dripping. I'm so sorry. I told you this was a bad idea. And the few drops left fell onto his body. And his skin did not fully shift back to human skin. And his head did not fully shift. He had a human eye and a crocodile eye, and that tail did not shrink back. What have you done, amigo? What have you done? His friend ran away, being afraid that this beast would eat him. I told you not to break the rules. And Don Juan stood there. He couldn't go back to the town. They'd kill him. He was a beast, but he was also kind of human in parts. He couldn't live in the waters in the river, and he wouldn't survive. And so the people of Colombia say that el hombre caimán lives along the water's edge, searching for a home, because he's neither from here and he's neither from there. Colorín colorado, ese cuento se ha acabado. Thank you.
That was Jasmine Cardenas with The Crocodile Man. Have you ever been deceived by something that looked one way at first, but then you took a closer look? Have you ever tried to make yourself look like something you weren't? Have you ever taken the time to look past what someone looked like to find out what they really were? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. And we want to thank Mara Menzies and Jasmine Cardenas for sharing their stories with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. While you're waiting for the next Appleseed episode, try Kaboom, another BYU Radio podcast. It's filled with audio adventures for everyone in your family to enjoy, wherever you get your podcasts.